Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dream.
Hello there, everyone. That is The Words You Cannot Say, a poem turned into a song written by Jay Heder, and it was turned into that song by the singer, music writer, Shout Even Shy. Amazing song that I think most of us know all the words to by now. It's an amazing song. And this is Deborah Lee. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We're a poetry group, chat group, big giant family that hangs out at allpoetry.com, which is a huge poetry site that's free to join. If you join or if you're already a member, you could knock on the door. You find us under the tab for groups, A Team of Voices, and we will let you in. You could hang out. If you'd like to call, the number to dial is 1-646-668-2837. On the show, you will find, on a Monday show, you'll find me hanging out with Jay Heder and a whole bunch of our friends. Heder, say hello. Unmute.
Hello.
Hello. Heder.
Hello.
Are you muted?
Heder had to go find a cat.
Oh, Thank you, Sky. I thought he said he just had to mute for a minute. Okay, sorry about that. So on that note, let's say hello to everyone here, like Sky, an amazing hostess with the mostest at multiple radio shows, and this radio team is proud to have her. Sky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. Thank you.
Glad you're here. And the Dynamic Duo is here as well. Speaking of multiple radio shows, Stephen does a show called Man Cave with Hatter with us, but his wife and he also run their own radio show, A Poetic Slice of Life. Hello, you guys. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Frank on the line as well, Mr. Poetic Picasso. Frank, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello there. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Frank, are you doing radio shows? I don't ever see any.
Yeah, well, there is talk about resuming the cafe.
Okay.
The whole thing has been my schedule is the issue there of trying to figure out when I can. But definitely let you know.
Cool. Thank you. And right behind Frank is none other than Mr. Wayne Jett. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello, poets. Nice to be here.
Hello, Wayne.
And
hey,
Frank. I'm looking forward to the poems. I've got like 8 recordings, and the board is full of poems, and I am trying to – there's the chat room. So I'm just going to dive right into this because I know that people have things going on, and I got some time crunches. So let's start there. I am going to go and grab the poem that Kay brought for us. And Kate, did you want to read live, or would you like me to push play?
Push play tonight.
Awesome. You got it. Love given the option. Love that I have the opportunity to. Hoo-hoo. Okay, so if everyone will click on Kate's poem, I will head right back into the studio and push play and get this show going. Here we go.
Purlieu of Button Bend in Nature's Arms by Kay and Stephen 76. Double entendre tongue speaking sideways, hisses through smiles, but not you. Part of me, released in you upon my lashes, is morning dew upon scarlet garnets of our blushes and apricots of morning's awakening. Humanity of bliss, fluttering cinnamon laurels and arms true. Crisp and ripen that molds the watercolors. Marigolds dimpled and dotted and engraved folded are we and pleated in flower and wool. Undressed in our shed-ins, trystful in a state of certainty, knitted in branches of leaves, rest in their diligence forevermore. Laced in linen upon flannel tusslins, golden sunrises consigned twixt early morning dawn are we and poem.
Great recording. Wow, let me see. A part of me released in you upon my lashes is morning dew upon scarlet garnets of blushings and apricots of morning awakens. There's a little bit of rhyme happening there, Kay. I actually found myself grin a bit when you read that part. I think it sticks out because you are not known as a rhyming poet, so that little piece grabbed me. Humanity of bliss, fluttering cinnamon laurels in arms true. More proof of those stellar one-line rights that, or yeah, one-line displays of brilliance. I can't think of the word I'm trying to cover, but I'm quite often taken by a lot of your one-line in-betweens. They're usually quite profound, and I really like that bliss fluttering. Guy, I will leave you something, but I'm just going to take that one more line there. Undressing our sheddings, trystful in a state of certainty. I love the playfulness in that state of certainty. I like the playfulness of the poem all the way through. The uplifting, even a bit of rhyme, and with the twist, I'll only take one more word, the twist of forevermore being in there was pretty cool too. I think you did an awesome job with this. I love the photo that you took, the title, and this is a collaboration between the two of you, so like it's so flawless. So it was like banter, if you know what I mean. Knitted of branches of leaves, rustling their distance. Aha, okay, now I'm going back here because I'm wondering if that little bit of rhyme is maybe Stephen. But I don't care because this combined so amazingly that I was touched by the sentiment of it all. So fantastic share, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, okay. Let me get a comment from Sky, please.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. It's on my recommendations list, and, you know, it deserves to be definitely. I love when you guys write together. I think such a beautiful intimacy when people write together anyway, but then add into the fact that you're married. And it's just a wonderful way to share your thoughts and ideas and poetry together. It's such a beautiful thing, and you guys do it so wonderfully. And it's not always easy to collab, and I've done quite a few collabs with certain people. You know, I do have one person I've written over 50 collabs with, and it's nice when you have that other person you're able to write so freely with. And you can see it in the poem. You can see how effortlessly the lines transition from one to another. The symbiosis of thoughts and emotion is definitely brilliantly done. Of course, you can still, I definitely can see your signatures within the poem as you guys as individuals, because I read a lot of your work. I can definitely see your different signatures from both of you. Certain lines that I'm like, this one. And I love that they pair up so well together. I think it is beautifully done. Thank you.
Awesome comments, Sky. And how about I get a comment from Frank as well, please?
Yes, I do agree with what's been said here. I think they are, it was a magnificent collaboration. I really, really was grasped, I really was taken by just the tone of the piece here. You know, I like the metaphors were stellar, the imagery was descriptive, and I really like just, it had a cadence to it, a very soothing cadence to it. And I have to say, if it is a great collab there between two persons who collab together, Stephen and Kay, you are that example there. You know, you know what each write, you know what thoughts go into writing a piece, a collab, which it's not easy to do. But you do it just what Sky said, in a very effortless way. I thought it was a tremendous piece. It was a beautiful piece, beautiful write. And a beautiful collab between the both of you.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Fabulous comment. And Stephen can't comment for himself. So let me get Wayne to comment before. Stephen, did you want to comment for yourself? No, I'm teasing. Wayne, will you comment for them before Stephen reads his poem?
Yes, I will. This is a great use of the textured words in this poem. It's just lovely. I could dream of a poem like this. It's more a lot of color and love in it. And that's not quite as abstract as usual. This is an amazing poem, and I thought it started with a double entrance, tongue speaking sideways, hisses through the smiles. I think it's wonderful, and you did a great job with this, and you all work together well. Great job, guys.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks.
Awesome comment, everyone. And Stephen, yours is on the board. And say hello to my sweet first, please, sweet.
Sweet.
Hello there, sweet pea.
She must be mooted. All right. We will say hi to her after the poem then.
Oh, hello, I was muted. Hello.
There she is, mooted. Hi, Dom. Just in time to hear Stephen read, unless you heard that Kay read their collab. I think you just got here. I'm not sure.
I did not.
Okay, just making sure. So, Stephen, ask us, please.
Yes, first I would like to say that that last collaboration, though, most of it was Kay. She put most of it together. I just sent her a few lines because I read them to her, and she said, ooh, send me those. So I did, and then she put the rest together. So she did 90% of the work on that one. So I feel honored to be included in it. But this one, I really like the pictures that you had for this one, Deb, such beautiful imagery of the fall. And I titled this one with yet another Simon and Garfunkel, and the leaves that are green turn to brown. Water rushes over the rocky falls, creating the sound of a dozen strips of bacon sizzling in a cast iron skillet, disrupting the glass surface below. Spring and summer flower stems are curved as they explore the soil beneath, searching for the perfect spot to attend their winter slumber. Fleece coat zippered to chin, crunching steps taken while gathering wood to light the fire and warm the cider. Maple trees roll with the brisk breeze, throwing their red and yellow leaves into the wind, seeing whose will travel the furthest. Cheeks turn to ruby in the crisp autumn draft, knowing the bubble falls will turn to ice, tiny crystals will fall from the sky, and angels will appear on the coated ground. An armful of kindling turns for home, hungry at the prospect of caramel apples and the cozy warmth of plaid flannel bed and poem.
So this is like payback, isn't it? First you get me stuck way back at the beginning with those strips of bacon. It was like, bacon! And that's like butterflies that catch my attention and takes me away. And I start, and then sizzling in the cast iron skillet. I was like, oh, he's killing me. And then the different visuals that you put through there are really cool. Maple trees roll with the brisk breeze, throwing their red and yellow leaves into the wind, seeing who will travel the furthest. The idea of them tossing them like a game to see who can get it to go the furthest and stuff like that is really enchanting. I thought that, and then ending it with that cozy warmth of plaid flannel bedding. So you're all tucked in and warm and cozy, and I want bacon! Another 10, which is very awesome, and I think that you did a fantastic job with this. I want to keep taking more things, like fleece coat zippered to the chin. I mean, the visuals were fantastic. You really, really took me into your scene. I could smell the food. I could hear the sizzle, and comparing the waterfall noise to the sizzle was, you know, pretty awesome. So you tied it in a nice little package, and it's a fantastic share. I appreciate it. Let me get you some comments. How about I go to my sweet.
Hold on a second. I got to get myself right back to where I was. I'm sorry, Stephen. I'm like bouncing here. Got somebody else in my head. I have a grandson on all day. No. I just had a grandson in my office and around me all day. I loved Teak's turn to ruby in the crisp autumn draft, knowing the bubbled falls will turn to ice, tiny crystals will fall from the sky, and angels will appear on the ground, on the coated ground. I love the idea that tiny crystals will fall from the sky and angels will appear. I thought that those two, that imagery and all of that, I thought that was absolutely beautiful because, I don't know, I just think it's beautiful. I don't have to give you a reason. I just found that beautiful, as well as the rest of the imagery throughout here. It's very well done.
Thanks, sweet.
Unmuted.
I'm muted.
Deb. Well, Albert, is she there?
Oh, I'm talking to my mute button this time, and I'm trying to figure out why Hatter's talking over me. So you're not talking over me. I'm an idiot. I'm going to twist it around a little because Sky is the next reader. So before she comments and reads, I thought we could have your wife comment for you, and then you could tell us what's happening the rest of the week at a Poetic Slice.
Okay. Yeah, I love the picture he chose because it kind of looks a little bit of the area of where our son lives.
Paine Falls.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like how you brought nature, but you also brought the remembrance of time and home. But, yeah, you also brought the cozy warmth and the foundations of welcome in those homes. It's beautiful, right? It has a lot of sentiments to it, but it also brings in, aspects that make one hungry, too.
Mm-hmm.
All the elements of home.
There you go. Thank you, hon. All right, let's see. Well, Sky can plug her own after she's done reading. but I will go with Wednesday. We have the Inklings the night before Thanksgiving, and we have quotes about Thanksgiving for you to write to. Check those out. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then we do have something different with a request on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's our one-word prompt. And the word is, where is that? I lost it again. Entree, I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's a French word. Saul is not here again. It's a French word that means fireplace, hearth, furnace, or fireside. And you can take that word wherever it wants you to go. That's what we got.
Sounds awesome. Appreciate it. And I love the new word thing. I always have fun with those, Kay. Okay. Sky, will you please comment for Stephen and then dazzle us with your poetry?
Yes, I love this one. First of all, a beautiful picture. You know, they all were, really. I have to say one of my favorite parts, too. Deb said it, but I'm going to say it again. Was a fleece coat, zipper to chin, crunching steps taken while gathering wood. To the light fire, the warm of this cider. I love that because one of my favorite, once it starts getting cold, I get really excited. And I'm like, bring out the fleece sheets, bring out the sweaters, bring out the vests. I'm very excited. Bring out the flannel, and so I love that you brought that in there, too. And then, of course, you bring in, and I realize, you know, if you just bring bacon to Deb, she'll be quite happy. But I did love, too, the sizzling of the bacon and the maple trees roll in the brisk breeze. I really liked that one, too, throwing. So you got this personification in there, which I love, throwing their red and yellow leaves into the wind. I've heard tossing in the wind. I've heard falling in the wind. I don't know if I ever had a visual of trees, like branches actually throwing their leaves into the wind, like they're being playful. And I kind of love it. I really love it. Really well done.
Fabulous comment.
Oh, I the quote. Autumn leaves don't fall, they fly. They take their time and wander. On this, their only chance to soar, by Dahlia Owens. But then I also intertwine lines from the book, The Last Unicorn, which is I can turn her into wind or snow or seven notes of music. Your death sits in a cage, and she hears you. Keep your shadows, if you will, and all the power you need, if you dare look for it. And it's a little bit of a tribute poem to The Last Unicorn. And I thought this picture fit perfectly to the wood where it just reminded me of a wood that unicorns would be. But also that darker haze overshadowing the wood reminded me of her bit of a darker storyline. So this is called Of Morning Stars and Clear de Lunes by Sky Darkholm. Violet silk blink in a dash of porcelain dawn, and spring's perpetual youth knows not age. In the rose language of a morning star and clair de lune are nothing to mortal creatures, for she of velvet fern and gathered leaf waves in rivulet blooms. Those looking glass fountains that marble green-hued woodlands, I brought troubadours.
perhaps the faint shadow prances of Narcissus herself. Alas, stories which could not be unheard begged legend to leave her forest, and on journeys to find lost kin, she learns the trickery of man. Illusions, deceptions, and mirages, toothless lions turned manticore, feeble apes made satyr, garden snakes to Midgard serpents, iron bars and jeering locks, a Fortunia midnight carnivalesque, where poor shadows are made of myths, and the fantastical are left to mockery. For it is true, ill promise is only made of words, and words cannot turn beast to wind, nor to snow, or to seven notes of music. But words that hold keys are far more convincing than those that don't. Fortunately, there waits a death for all those who pocket slaves for silver, and as harpy terrors rain justice on such beings, they, made of magic and lore, escaped with forged alliances in search of the red bull, the beast of galloping red plumes, a gray flannel of smoke and fire tusks, the hunter, he who drove the unicorn, left them to the greed of kings, a herd of glass ghosts trotting on seafoam. And what was she but the last, a legend transformed human, molded like a splintered ceramic of lost dreams and haunting remembrances. But it was there in that losing and finding of herself she dared to wander down paths never traveled by her kind, to understand the loss of those autumn leaves that time never granted her. And because of this, she took back what the great hunter had stolen. And although she was no longer the last, she would ever be the only unicorn to know the turn of season and all that it keeps. End poem.
Breathtaking. I was just about to say, I don't even know where to start, but yeah, I do. I'd love your opening couplet. Violet silks blink in a dash of porcelain, dawn as spring's perpetual youth knows not age. I love the feel of that. I love the word, the visual, the whole package. It's a brilliant couplet. So many great visuals through it. Wades and rivulets blooms. That was awesome. And where's the mirage? Illusions, deceptions, and mirages, toothless lions turned manticore, feeble apes made satire. Garden snakes. To my guard, serpents, iron bars, and jeering locks. I like the comparisons, I don't know if categories, but anyway, I like the, I guess for lack of a better word, the characters that you brought in, the critters. There you go, critters. What's wrong with that? But where's that? But words that hold keys are far more convincing. Sometimes you don't remember or realize the power of words until they're the only thing you have to fix something. They're the only key to fix something. And it's not just the words. It's the usage, the sentiment behind them, the truth behind them, the commitment behind them. So it's like words are mighty, and I felt that there. And where was that? She dared to wander down paths never traveled by her kind. Just that it's like this tiptoe through, cautious, yet drinking in everything around. I love the feel. I love how you lulled me in, and I was vested, waiting to see where we went next and what happened, and to feel with this unicorn. I think this is really awesome. I'm going to stop trying to find another one because I want everybody to get a chance to make comments or get comments. But I'm really loving all the details in this and the beautiful title as well. Let me get you some comments. Thank you, Sky. Stephen, will you comment for Sky, please?
Thank you.
Stephen?
Thank you. Yeah, that was applause, no. I figured it out. Thank you very much. Yeah. Anyway, I have to agree with what you said, Deb, because I put in my comment right off the bat that the way you start this, Sky, made my jaw drop. The personification of spring, only knowing perpetual youth, is both amazing and true. I've only seen The Last Unicorn one time, but I do believe that your words did it justice. This is an excellent write.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah. I need it. Hey.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
here you now.
I'm sorry. I thought I said amazing comment. Thank you, Stephen. Maybe I should have said mute button. But Kay, will you please comment for Sky?
I like how you speak about spring's perpetual youth, knows not age of a morning star, and Claire de Lune. I like those lines to start with because it does give the look of music to nature, the birds that sing and hear the song, but also of youthfulness. But I like how you speak about illusions, deceptions, marriages, and a lot of other aspects that go along with speaking about mockery, but words that hold keys are far more convincing. There's a lot of different lines that speak to that effect right there. But I like how there's a bite of reality through those lines, that way speaks to life, but also speaks to the story referenced as well. Words do hold weight through the good and bad. As those closing lines, they definitely add the truth of identity and strength. It's a well-rounded write that definitely speaks to life, but also to story very well.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And how about if I get a comment from Wayne, please?
Yes, this is a smooth, lovely storyline in the poem. Wonderful wording of yearning. Wonderful words of yearning. It reads so tenderly. I like the line that says, of lost dreams and haunted remembrances. That's a great description of times past that you're thinking about. This is a lovely, lovely poem of quality that should be published for the masses to read. It's a dreamy poem. I love it a whole lot. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Okay, now let me see here. On this board, sweet, can you comment on Sky's poem while I get yours and put it on the board?
Yeah, I agree with Wayne. This is something that should be published for the masses to read. This is just absolutely stunning. To take it from the perspective, as you do at the bottom, to know she's the only unicorn, to know the turn of the season, you know, for her to watch all, to dare wandering through the past in search of the Red Bull and the lure of the magic and just everything you put in here. I mean, obviously, I can't go line for line because I would repeat every line that's in here. Illusions, deceptions, and marriages, toothless lions, I mean, garden snakes, which I particularly don't care for, but they work in your poem. Nor to snow, or to seven notes of music. I mean, this is just so much in here. There's depth, and there's perception, and there's warmth, and there's a little bit of coldness, and there's magic, and there's lore, and there's stunning imagery, and metaphor, and like Deb said, you don't know where to start, but you also don't know where to end, because it should be something you tell your friends, and they'll tell their friends, and they'll tell their friends, and it's, once again, magical write by Sky Darkholm, and a beautiful write, and once again, it's just top-notch. I just love hearing you read, and love reading what you write.
Thank you, sweet. You know, in the book, unicorns don't feel regret. So in the turn of season and the turn of life, we often have those things in the past that we regret. And in that perspective, she's the only one that understands it now because she was turned into a human and then turned back into a unicorn. Thank you.
Quick question, though, before you read Sweet. Sky, are you going to stay for Sweet's poem, or are you leaving now? And in either case...
I really have to go, yeah.
Okay, would you like to push your show?
Yeah. Yes, on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are doing Dungeons & Dragons. It's going to be the last race show. I think you guys have all got this under your belt now. So we are doing three races. And all you have to do is click on those races. You could talk about any of the characteristics. Or you can bring a character, right, or bring metaphor, or bring a personal piece, but with those characteristics, as long as you learn them. And then, that closes out our race teaching. And we'll be moving on at the top of the to sorry, I'm having a loss for words. We'll be moving on. So to class. So we're moving on to class. So it'll be fun. Thank you.
Awesome. And knock 'em dead. And thank you for calling. Great share.
Thank you. I'll pin you. I'll pin you, Sweet. Good night, everyone.
All right.
Night.
Bye.
All right. And let me see here. Wayne, don't go. Hold on, please.
No, I was saying goodnight to them. To the
guys. Oh, okay. I thought you were, okay. I just don't want, all right. Never mind.
No, I'm not leaving.
Thank you. And Sweet, go ahead, please.
Okay. This is Tangerine Shadows. The winds of fall whisper, come and play among the trees. Listen to the melodies of apricot and copper softly fade into twilight. Touch the ridges of reds and pomegranates of floating moons. Drink among the mosaic patterns of orange's sangaries, sangrias, and merlots. Daydream and sunbeams flying free in burgundy bubbles. Watch garnets and rubies dance across the skies of sunrise. Tangerine shadows beckon nature to stop winter freeze. As shades of fall kiss the boundaries of a flowing waterfall, warmed by falling sun, the last leaf pirouettes in the stars.
Gorgeous, Sweet, especially the closing stanza, but the first line as well, the winds of fall whispered, come and play among the trees. I love the playfulness of the opening there. And in an effort to leave a little something for somebody else to comment, I'm going to go right to the end because I really love the colors and stuff in that. Tangerine shadows beckon nature to stop winter freeze as shades of fall kiss the boundaries of a flowing waterfall warmed by falling sun. The last leaf pirouettes with the stars. I mean, what a beautiful feeling and image to leave us with. And I mean, look at that photo. The photo is, to use one of your words, stunning. It's an amazing, amazing collaboration of earth and water. And even if you did nothing else but the opening line and that last stanza, you paid such gorgeous tribute to this photo. And again, I say, and left me feeling like an exhale, feeling like a smile. So it's a beautiful brevity, Sweet. And let me get a comment. Hatter, can you comment for Sweet? You said you were Bach. Are you muted?
Bach.
Yeah, I was muted. Yeah. Okay. Let me get back to it. It was a beautiful piece. It went on one of my lists to read later. Trying to get back to it. Your metaphors throughout was really old school, really well placed, chosen, and I wanted to try to catch a line here, but I'm gonna beat. Your metaphors were beautiful. I can't pick one out right now. I don't have it in front of me, but most impressed guy.
We're talking Sweet Pea.
awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment for Sweet, please?
Yes, I thought this piece here really personified the wonderful elements of nature there, in particular that prompt there. This was very exquisite writing here. You know, you brought in these metaphors, colorful, and yet at the same time, the very vivid. You know, I just thought you brought a beautiful poem here, and you definitely you just brought a colorful image of what that prompt was. And just imagine, you know, the sequence of the water, you know, the sequence of the leaves, the sequence of the winds, you know, it's just breathtaking.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Beautiful comment. And Wayne, while I grab your link, can you please comment for Sweet?
Well, yes, I will. That's a great read you had there. And I didn't know what the picture was showing until I got sit there and looked at it for a second. I didn't know there's a bridge down there. It's a wonderful way to describe the scene. And the way you listen, the way the words you had were like to listen to the melodies, daydream in the sunbeams, shade of the fall kiss, the last picture for stars, last day picture for stars. Every one of those phrases is great and painted a great picture with this poem. It's a lovely poem, and you did a great job reading it. I enjoyed it. Great job.
Thank you,
awesome comment. Now, before we push play, Sweet, I know you said you could hang to the top of the hour, but did you want to push your show that way in case you have to go before you've already done so?
My show is not this Thursday. It's next Thursday because I believe Catherine is doing Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're very right. I am so confused. No, you're right. And I even knew that. I'm just so anyhow. Never mind.
And that's
but
fine.
I love
it. That's fine.
And
but everybody can wait to Hatter on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be a Hatterday Thanksgiving. Hey, Hatter
Church.
Yeah, I forgot all about it too. Talk about dropping the ball. But, Mr. Wayne Jen, will you please comment for Sweet and then read us your poem?
Well, I just commented for Sweet, and he's going to play the sound.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
you did. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I will get with it. Sounds real professional. Duh.
Can you pose his poem again?
I sure can. Hopefully I at least did it the first time. But yes, I will do that right. You know what? It is sitting there. I just never pushed send.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
sorry about
that. I was waiting for it.
Without further ado or any more miscommunications from me, let's push this button and hear the magic that is Wayne Jent. Here we go.
A little bit. This is called Life of a Leaf That Left. Anyone who thinks fallen leaves are dead has never watched them dancing on a windy day. Free-floating, coated canvas of velvet and red, crisp, curled, curved, confetti sailing away. Shadows, silhouette webs, whisper to scarlet sky, as the wildlife woodpecker taps the trunk to try. And branch bows when flannel feather blackbird fly, hearing scratching, sniffing, sweet squirrel cry. Traveling triangular tumbleweed trinkets fall floating down, catching the cushion cashmere colored clover floor. A waterlogged, wintergreen wrinkled, welcome, waits on ground. Dimple dotted, cerise slotted, radiate rotted, weeps for more. Long lacerated leaf lies limberly, longing for limb. Torn, tagged, twisted, tossed after tree trim. Silently sailed, then soared to sky, since being stripped. Finally,
flowery flakes, fail forging food for foes. And
hail the leaf. I'm going to go salute something.
What'd you say, Adam?
I feel like going out and saluting a tree, a leaf.
Oh. Wayne, there was such a enthralling softness in your tone. Anyone who thinks fallen leaves are dead have never watched them dancing on a windy day. That I love the sentiment there. I love the thought of that. Trees, floating coated canvas on velvet and red, crisp, curled, and curved confetti sailing away. Tranquil and beautiful. The background, the gentleness of the music added to the depth of the poem. I'm going to try to say this line now. Traveling triangular tumbleweed trinkets fall floating down, catching the cushioned cashmere-colored clover floor. Gorgeous image, amazing alliteration, a tongue twister. If you're not concentrating, you can't say that one twice in a row. It's hard enough to say it once. But it was absolutely a journey into the sights and colors and textures and beauty around you. But I'm going to go back for 1 minute. Anyone who thinks fallen leaves are dead has never watched them dancing on a windy day. Wayne, that is a contest prompt. Sheer
yes,
brilliance.
It is.
Yes, it is. Let me get you some quotes here. Wow. Sweet. What do you think of that?
Well, first off, we wrote to the same quote, and I got to tell you, yours made me like put in a dream state, and I was like almost sighing. I like was feeling like I was falling in love. Your descriptions are so beautiful and melodic, and I'm just amazed. That was like almost non-Wing-like. I was waiting for the punchline, but instead I got the love line. I want, you know, if I could fall in love with a tree, it would be through you, Wayne. And I thought it was, as one of my favorite words, stunning and gorgeous. And please write about love towards me. I want to be as lovely as that. As this tree and leaves and everything you put in here. Beautifully done, sir. Beautifully done.
Thank you, sweet. Well, that's amazing. Thank you for the comment.
Oh, what an awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
This is very clever. I love this. The rhyme, you skip. It goes like, catching the cushioned cashmere-colored clover floor. And slotted, radiated, rotted weeps for more. And the inner free lines in there are, it's well done. This is the best I've, and you read it beautifully.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Heather. It's great to comment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Awesome comment. And while I get your poem and photo, Frank, will you comment for Wayne, please?
Yes, Wayne, you definitely, I mean, when I first, you know, your first sound clouds, you still would sound a little bit of your, you know, your rapid pace in there. But I've noticed with several of your sound clouds, you really have progressed in a way of such a professional way. You know, your sound clouds sound very professional, you know, and I say that with all due respect and reverence for you. This is just a beautiful, exquisite poem. I've noticed a couple of your sound clouds that I've heard lately have been very reverential. Have been very, very much in this manner, in this fashion, I would say. You just have an elegance, you know. If you know poetry like this, and you pick the right, you know, you've chosen the right type of music, the right type of prompt, Now, but it's always important, you know, people don't realize that when you do a SoundCloud, you know, the SoundCloud has to be as well, has to personify that. You have to gravitate, make the reader believe what you're saying.
Right.
You did an excellent job in that. I definitely believe you did an excellent job. You really grabbed the attention of the reader, mesmerized us from the beginning to end. And I noticed that lately your poems have been of this nature. So I have to commend you for your poems and your SoundClouds in particular lately. They're very, very much very professional.
You're my mentor, so you're the one that's helped me do this.
Oh, I appreciate that, my friend, but I'm not the mentor.
Aww.
I'm just me. I'm just me. thank you very much. This is a great ride, my friend, and great SoundCloud. You're always my pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, showtime is done.
I love when that happens.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful sentiment, yeah. Now, guys, if you look on the board with the link for Frank's poem, I added his is in there. Okay, for some reason, I thought he needed it. No problem. Now,
yeah, I was given a week of... because of my birthday, I was given a week of gold membership.
Oh, okay. Right, okay, cool. I tried to remember this time because last week I couldn't find it, and I know you know, it would have been nice to show us, but awesome. Okay, now let me find your sound in the studio and push play so we can listen to your masterpiece. Here we go.
A tincture of tangerine rays of the sun cast a reflection upon the liquid ripples of the gentle currents of the river, the canvas of the engraved image to a mosaic of nature, a testimony of the days when autumn was full of serenity. Fallen leaves serenaded by the wind danced to the notes of a violin, as they turn into a symphony of rubies glistening in the dew, and the nightingales glide beneath cotton clouds of the periwinkle sky, after the sobbing night has mourned the dormant silence of their singing. The leaves wrinkle into a crispy and curly fold of serrated regret, the crystal tears of the trees reach the splendor of balls adjacent, touched by the fatness of the flowered petals lying on the edge, a token of the golden memories once cherished by two lovers. A spirit watches through the eyelids of the walls of the tower as I return to the bridge where we laughed and smiled all day, with a fine glass of bubbling wine and a box of delicious chocolates sprinkled with almonds and rum to sweeten our awakened taste buds. Now I am alone in this solitary bridge, waiting for her ghost, holding on to the satin and silk garments of her evening dress, hoping that the soothing days of autumn never go away again, and she shines to me her angelic luminosity with the morning sun. There is a harmony in autumn and a luster in its sky, which through the summer is not heard or seen as if it could not be, as if it had not been there before. But I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. Oh, I am a witness that harmony and luster are the embodiment of her, the visible signs of her beauty. In the poem.
Wow, Frank.
For I'm a witness.
Yeah, I'm.
That should be the title.
There was
maybe
such a softness in your voice, and oh man, and see, a spirit watches through the eyelets of the walls of the tower as I return to the bridge where we laughed and smile all day with a fine glass of bubbling wine and a box of delicious chocolates sprinkled with almonds and rum to sweeten our awakened taste buds. I like all the details, the sense of the togetherness, the a bit of romance with the wine, all the visuals, the leaves wrinkle into crispy and curly folds, the serrated regret, and that is so sad. So, like, there was a whole bunch of different emotions that were hitting me through here. Fallen leaves serenaded by the wind dance to the notes of a violin as they turn into a symphony of rubies glistening in the dew. Gorgeous. I mean, the mix of emotions, that the mix of images, that the details, and the soft tones of your voice made this one really great. And although, you know, everybody always gets a kick out of it when you do that theatrical thing with the laugh and everything, there was a nice change to feel the softer, gentler, more emotional side of you coming out in this one. So an awesome share, Frank. And before I get
that.
To another comment.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Say hello to AP. Hey, AP, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
AP.
Did you happen to hear Frank? Oh, wait, you know what? You're going to read next. So how about if I save your comment for a moment? You put your link on the board, and I'll save your comment for that. And I will go to Hatter. Tell me what you thought of.
It was beautiful, and I think, and I've never told anybody to suggest another title, but when you added "For I Am a Witness," it just really brought everything together. What you're saying, because when you're a witness, it usually isn't by voluntarily. But I am a witness. That harmony, that's just beautiful ending. Just caught me.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Tata. Truly,
awesome.
I appreciate
comment.
That.
And Wayne, will you comment, please? Wayne, are you muted? That's odd. It says he's still here.
I hear some. There's like a.
Yeah, I was looking to see if maybe there was a message on the board or anything, but there's not.
Well, that's okay. If you have to go, he has to go, that's an issue. I understand that.
There he is. It's okay.
I have my speaker turned off.
Yeah, it's a wonderful presentation.
You've spoken in a soft manner of yours. It's a pleasure to hear that again. While you was reading, I was thinking this poem had a great rhyme, but it's a free verse poem. It's balanced so well, it seems like it's rhyming. It's a great, great poem. I was hoping you didn't last me, which you didn't. But you did bring a tear to my eye the way it's so sad at the end, it's tender at the end. You haven't sighed all the way through the poem. Very excellent tone in your poem, and you did a great job. The master of poetry did a great job again.
Well, I appreciate that, Wayne. And I was, I have to say that everyone's comments do appreciate that. It will change for me with type of poem. Usually I do dark right here on this night, but on days. But when I saw the this is what inspired me. So I couldn't see myself doing a dark ride for this beautiful, beautiful poem.
You did a wonderful job.
And with that, my friends, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go now. I'm conformed somewhere to get into that sleep mode. So everyone take care. And
thanks so much for calling.
Pleasure, Deb. It's always a pleasure.
Later,
take care, my friends. Have to take care, my friends. Everyone on the board, take care. And yes, buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay, so AP, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and comment and then take us away.
No, I thought it was a lovely poem. I particularly when it circled back in the last stanza to the harmony in autumn and luster in its sky, through which summer is not heard or seen, as if it could not be. It was quite it was a sort of lovely sense of sort of frisson through the poem, and particularly the way it finished. I thought it was really elegantly written.
Awesome comment. Your turn to dazzle us.
Well, we'll see. Well, maybe not dazzle, but it's only 120 words, Deb, so there's a restriction on how much we dazzle you. This is ingrained, and it goes a little bit like this. Plucked off a stand of distant apple trees, a large crimson leaf lies curled onto a breeze. Merlot in spots and crazed to pink, it waves over the barbed wire link. Curved and ridges by degrees, fillers at velvet band, carpet fine hovers as whiskered husks do stand. Ginger are framed by the falling fences, perforated soon, serrated commences. In the cut of the wind's hand, hooked as wire falls tenses, splays fanned. Clouds still beaded as the plains lie framed, in brick tones perforated soils jostle untamed. Plated a leaf, its ridged soil worn by the surface, racing of motion, remnants torn, pulped and on ground maimed to a teasing autumn morn, soon ingrained in bone.
Wow. You know, I'm loving the shape there, the falling, the pulling the eye down, lulling us to follow it. It was a clever touch. Plucked off a strand of distant apple trees, a large crimson leaf lies curled onto a breeze. Gorgeous rhyme and flow there. All the way through, curved and ridged by degrees, still in its velvet blur blinks, a tree flees. Awesome. Each one I could pull, perforated soon, serrated commences. In the cut of the wind's hand, but I really like the last cloud still beaded as the plains lie framed in brick tones, perforated soils jostle untamed, and I like the playfulness at the end where it's teasing autumn morn. So I like all the images, and I like the feel and the rhyme and the flow. But again, I say it's very cool that the shape, the eye, it had a flow like a falling leaf, I guess, you know, and I thought that was a clever touch. And you used a lot of words. I think that it looks like you're going to have some fun with the texture words. I love that you filled so many in here. Brilliant piece, great share. Let me get you some comments here. How about if I go directly to the Hat Man?
Hey, P, how you doing?
Hello, I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay, all right. You have a beautiful way of describing nature and the breeze, the wind, and what it looks like and such. This is another one. Firm as brass wheat, soldiers lined to band. Carpet fine, hovers as whiskered husks to stand. some old school rhyming. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Yeah, no, just a little bit of, as you know, I usually go AB, and I finish off with that, but
yeah.
I do a little bit of AA first, so.
Yep. Trying to catch up. Amazing. Deborah, muted.
Talking to him now. Nope. I'm an idiot. This is the third time tonight I've had a conversation with my mute button. Yeah. And I just seconded something that Hatter just said. Anyway, I know what I said. I said I agree with Hatter as far as the little twist of the different in the rhyme pattern that you used on this one. It was a treat. Not that I don't always enjoy the A-B flow that you have. There was something different, something with a different flow, like the flutter on this one. So it was a nice touch. And let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
Here I am. Hey, that was a great read there, AP. I didn't ever see your poem. I didn't see your poem posted. I've been trying to look for it, and I didn't see it. But you brought a soft tenderness to this poem that's just touching, and you read it so smooth, and it had a caring voice. It's a great read, and great rhyme, and well balanced, and sounds great. I just didn't get to read it as you went along, so I can't comment as good as I like to. Great job, old.
Thanks, Ryan. Now, cheers.
Awesome comment, Frank. Wayne, I'm sorry. I think that the board's moving a little bit, but it is on there, and I'm sorry you missed it. And AP, are you going to be able to hang out, or do you have to go?
No, I was going to hang out for a little while, Deb, if that's okay.
That's fantastic. And on that note, the next poem on the board is by Miss Bella, and I think I better add that again as well because I think it got lost too.
No, I see it.
Okay, there is Miss Bella's poem, and I have a SoundCloud for her as well. So you guys click on that, and I'm on my way to the studio to play a beautiful Fireflies poem. What did somebody just say? Are you ready, Heather?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
And Season by Maybea. And it all fell on my marbled linen, the cinnamon-coated fiber blushed with watermelon stain and coffee sparkles. There are no words to utter, only howls in beaded crystals. A banshee from the soul formed into a serrated knife, lacerated my tasseled grace, falling like my breath clawed to the thoughts laying on the flowered glass. Covered with wrinkled leaves from a vain deciduous branch. And I have it buttoned in my soul, being welcomed by pimiento swirls. One day, in time, soon. Since my painted peach flesh transformed into blotchy my lord, a mosaic of my faded hours, I know. My season is almost over. My vivid flesh will soon turn into pepper memories. And I am still blessed, despite the change. For my lips will be misted with snowflake mist from marigold cotton. And I will be welcomed with the same dream and a beautiful afterlife, without the pain, without my scars, without your hate, behind Kashmir haze, I will be yours. again. Oh my goodness.
Holy crap.
Right? I don't even know which part to dive into. A banshee from the soul formed into a serrated knife, lacerated my tasseled grace, falling like my breath. I know my season is almost over. My vivid flesh will soon turn memories. But wait. Within the same dream and a beautiful afterlife without the pain, without the scars, without your hate. Man, behind cashmere haze, I will be yours again. Between the words and the sound as bell of red, man, like my breath clawed to the thoughts laying on the flowered glass. I find myself at a loss for words. This grips so hard, and it's like I wish I could reach into the airways and give Bella a big hug and tell her that I find her and her strength amazing quite often, and this is one of those times. What a share. Hatter.
Oh, Bella. This is so much, so deep, and a lot of pause in there. Okay. Yeah, I love the way you could read anything and melt my heart. But my painted flesh, my painted peach flesh, transferred to blotchy merlot, a mosaic of my faded hours. And my season's almost over. Just and into pepper memories. Oh. So good. Nice job. Beautiful.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Wayne?
Yes. There's great emotion in this poem. It's read wonderfully, and it carried a painful overtone of one's time coming to an end. We're looking forward to the afterlife. Sound is so pure and touching. It's so emotional, too. It's why I love this poem. I wish I could give her a hug. It's a great job on this. I really like it a lot.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment?
When you listen to this, you hear pain and you hear suffering and you hear tiredness and I just hope that we hear much more of Bella and that longing for something better, that without pain, without scars, without hate, that's not drawing her away from us, because we want her here.
Awesome comment. We sure do. Okay. Beautiful share. Okay. If you guys click on Allie's poem, I will read for her. Do you see it?
Yep.
Okay, cool. This is called Fall, A Season of Curiosity by Allie Sunshine 3. There we go. One day there was a magical rocky road. On the road there was some triangular, solid and veined leaves that were coating the surface. The leaves were different colors, such as orange and yellow. The leaves created a metallic canvas on the bare road. While continuing on down the road, I began to smell some crisp apples coated with cinnamon. My only guess was that the apples had to come from the maple trees, which seemed to be splintered up ahead. I began to grow curious, so I made sure my red flannel was on. My warm boots were zippered, and I made sure my wool
hat was covering my ears. Upon making sure all this had been covered, I began on my unique journey onto the beautifully stunning rose and palm. I like the journey that we just took. It was like we took the walk with her on that rocky road, and I think you could almost smell the apples in the air. And I like how it was like a step-by-step. We started out on the road, and we went a little further and continued down to the smell, and we went further, and curiosity peaked, and we went a little bit further and realized that we were on a unique journey on a gorgeous road. I thought this was a great share, an awesome brevity, and I was honored to be your reader for you, Allie. Let me get you some comments. How about I get a comment from you, Heather?
Yeah, beautifully written. She did well. She's almost like she's been writing to your color word banks, and the apple coated with the cinnamon. The apples had to come from the maple trees. She just takes us out on a journey into the beautiful studying room. Nicely done. Yeah.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Allie, and then I'm going to grab Budo's poem and have you read for me, please?
Sure. No jump at all. It's sort of a little magic. Or mystery tour, isn't it, really? It sort of reminds me a little bit of the curiosity of a child and where your eyes take you and where your thoughts take you. And that it's really appropriately titled the Season of Curiosity, and I think that's what the poem is about, and it just follows that curiosity in an intriguing way.
Thank you so much.
Okie doke. Well, we have the poem up by Budo, which is Renewal. And it goes a little bit like this. Chills the flanneled spine in shingled spindrift motions of the whirly walls of autumn. Butterscotch and burgundy lapels dancing in the cooling crisp air. A webbed mosaic pattern of veined, wrinkled and crinkled, marigold and merlot-scented, saturating the good earth beneath the outstretch of clawed arms. Reaching for the reincarnated in the lotus of brethren, in copper and crimson, to once again recanvas itself within a regalia of quilted layers, of beaded breath unto its umbrella, and permeate life once more, our good rings expanding concentric as each season passes through onto this circle of ever-changing stillness in poem.
Awesome, Reed. Thank you. So, chills the flanneled spine. I can say that I've never heard someone put them together before, but I really like that, the flanneled spine and shingled spindrift motions are the whirly whirls of autumn. I like that. The colors that he chose are perfect here because you can see the butterscotch accents through the right. A webbed mosaic pattern of veined, wrinkled and crinkled, marigold and merlot scented. So we brought in the smells for us too, and you can always hear the wind blowing them around and a bit of the crinkle. So it was a treat for the senses. And there's something about the couplet towards, I guess it's just about middle, a little bit more past middle, reaching for the reincarnated in the loss of brethren. That's a pretty powerful couplet right there, reaching for the reincarnated. OK. incredible piece. Great share. And it was an awesome read. AP, will you comment as well?
I think it's a beautiful image. And the colors are beautifully used. I love the butterscotch and burgundy lapels dancing in the cool crisp air. And copper and crimson to once again recanvas itself. Just those combinations of colors with the words moving gives a beautiful sense of imagery, and you can almost taste the colors. It's quite beautifully done.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment on the poem for Rudo and then read us your poem?
Yeah. Beautiful words. It really shows the contrast between poets. How everybody writes. The life once more hardwood rings expanding concentric as each season passes through. Very good description. A whole different feeling to it. Reaching for the reincarnated and the loss of brethren. That's a heavy line, like you said. Reaching for the reincarnated and the loss of brethren. Oh, holy. Very nice. Yeah, all these are good.
Awesome. Yeah. And didn't I put yours up there? Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah.
Running down the hall now. Okay. Come on. You know, nobody say anything. Get jump around. Okay. Okay. And I tried a little different something real quick. I wanted to get something for your show. Come on. Okay. It's called, for lack of a title, Rocks and Knots as Kids We Caught, Circle Waves of Pain. That's the picture there. And you tell me what's going on. Rocks and knots as kids we caught the circle waves of pain. We played on waves and wooden caves, and never was it the same. Time stood still against its will, searching for a clue. The words caved in, and the wondering begins if this was ever true. Got to check that water. Zoom in on it. Let's see what's going on there.
Well, I'd say you went pretty powerful with just four lines, Hatter. Damn. Rocks and knots as kids we caught the circle waves of pain. We played on waves in hidden caves and never was the same. Was it the same? You have the lyrical flow built into you, and it doesn't matter if you do four lines or 44 lines. You always seem to have, it's like an etched pattern. Rocks and knots that kids we caught the circle waves of pain, and it's a hell of a talent that I wish I could do, because I find myself trying to get into some type of rhythmic pattern, but sometimes I just can't, and missing that beat does change a read, but maybe one day when I grow up I'll be as good at doing that as Hatter. But great four lines.
Yeah. Thank you, Deborah.
AP.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it? It's like Hatter's got a internal rhythm. It's a little bit like a sea shanty, in terms of the way it sort of works and sort of turns in and turns out. It's a little bit like the waterfalls. There's one that's out and there's one that's in, and it sort of braids in between each other in the language. That's why the imagery suits itself so well, and the words fit so well together, even though they're four lines.
Thank you, AP.
Absolutely. Now, let me see here. I still have a whole bunch of recordings left. Let me see if I need any more reading.
Yeah, definitely have to do the parts, unfortunately. But somebody in one of the businesses calling about one of the automotive clubs that I know a little bit about. And it's such a strange, they've got a really funny little name, actually. You know how you have AAA, and they have different names and double A's and whatever. These guys called themselves ANT, AANT, Northern Territory. And it's kind of fun because they're small, and so they make sort of fun of themselves. Anyway, I've got to go off and talk about ANT, so my apologies for leaving.
No, no problem. I appreciate you hanging out as long as you did. We'll talk soon. Love and respect.
Thanks again, Deb. Talk soon. Thanks, Heather.
Okay, so Heather, you know what?
What?
Everybody had a lot of things to do tonight. So the last poems that are on the board are here for just you and I to comment on. So what we'll do is we will just give two amazing comments on each one of these poems and get them taken care of.
Okay.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Heavenly Angels first, because there's a couple that need to be read, and then all of the rest have recordings. So let me put this here, and if you click on that, I will read for Heavenly Angel. And her poem is called Until That Day, again, Heavenly Angel. And here we go.
Okay.
Sundays with you were just unexplainable. Just as every day shared with you was laced with satiny, silky sunshine, the moments seemed to last forever. I guess that's the way it's between cowboys and angels. We were just redneck Valentines sharing love under Texas skies in this old house, our own little piece of heaven. We would get up early watching the sunrise, setting the sky ablaze in a myriad array of ginger, watermelon, copper, and cherry, a canvas painted by the Almighty given to enjoy our own fireworks, if you will. It looked like the world was covered in a cobbler crust of brown sugar and cinnamon maple with a tinge of apricot, highlighting our little oasis. Our garden of love flowered in beautiful shades of together. Crisp mornings with you were shared, snuggled in a quilted fleece blanket, loving you and you loving me. These moments are engraved, yes, framed in solid ink on my heart until the day we'll be riding into eternity together. End poem. Gorgeous. Our queen of romance and love poems strikes again. Another multiple award winner, one of which is gold. Easy to see why. The sentiment here, she painted a picture of a location and pulled us into it with her vivid colors and the use of the word bank to make us see as well as feel what was going on. And I like the idea of them enjoying their own fireworks, if you will. The crisp morning with you were shared, snuggled in blanket. I mean, just the soft, sentimental beauty and love and tenderness that oozes off the poem. Another awesome share. And I'm always honored to be the reader for Angel. Heather, what did you think?
Yeah, Hallmark. I wrote Hallmark indeed with a word bank. It's beautiful. Yeah. I don't have any, you know, it's hard. It's the Hallmark. Some people got that ability. I'm trying to get back there. There's a, you know, quilted fleece blanket just to feel shared, snuggled in. I remember fleetingly. Garden of love flowers and beautiful skies, shades of together, cinnamon maple. It just does exist, I guess, eh? In comment.
Isn't that what the M&Ms and Santa said to each other? We do exist.
You ever saw that commercial?
I'm sorry.
I said, did you never see the commercial where the M&Ms say to Santa and Santa say to M&M, wow, you really are real. That's what
you
made
really
me think of that.
Yeah, you really did. It's good to know.
Beautiful poem.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. I am going to, I'm not going to read back to back, so I will grab the link for Titus, and I will add that on the board right now, and we can listen to the SoundCloud that he got up to make for the show. And thank you for that very much, Titus. I appreciate it. And let me scoot. I mean, he literally just got up for the sole purpose of making this recording. So I'm thrilled. And here we go.
Cut from the same cloth, a tapestry tale. Whether framed from an eyelet of my home, the canopy folded back, dare it be engraved, maple rather than the redwood I have saved, from memory how worn up brown does run. I have crocheted a tale of round robins here, the folded laced up curtains still withdrawn, are kept within a beveled edge box where, pine cone scent, I'm awed to smell the dawn. A sip of butterscotch for Anne, my dear Emily, curled up in bed. I hope her dreams come true. A gathering of silk and arm outside bestrew the delicate tweed some of us need, tellingly. My only wish to wrap up plaid around us all, to step outside, trade the moulded footprints. A fluttering of leaves I find, just ample hints of rust, so rarely does a bronze knocker call. From where I stand, splintered groups of trees, I would imagine knitted leaves together, so far full circle. Autumn kindly, it does unduly mar a crisp exskeletal layer of what is manganese. Pewter mugs which did pour some ruby wine, nothing worth celebrating but mustard seeds, nothing much to add to keep myself this fine. Fine as can be, I do have my tiny prayer beads. A pinch of nutmeg I gather was given a snuff to ease the airways, to keep covered the wheat flails of wood we have. I think we've enough to keep us warm. A reed before we do retreat.
I really love listening to him read.
Yeah.
His pronunciation. Yeah. And I know that we sometimes get into the habit of saying things repetitively, but I can't help it. He is one of the poets on All Poetry that never cease to amaze me with their use of word banks. You can toss just about any set of words at Titus, and he can come up with something like this where you wouldn't believe that, you know, it never feels forced. He seems to spin his stories just right to pull the words in. And stuff like, let me see, where was it? Pewter mugs which did pour some ruby wine, nothing worth celebrating, but mustard seeds, nothing much to add to keep myself this fine, fine as can be. I do have my tiny prayer beads. There was something very endearing about the thought of those tiny prayer beads. And back further, I have, where is that? Kept within a beveled edge box where pine cone scents, I'm awed to smell the dawn. I like that. It's like you open the box and the scent takes you away, and the beveled edge box. So you want to imagine that maybe there's other trinkets and memorabilia in there, and between the sights and stuff in that beveled box and the scent that smells of dawn, it takes you on a journey. And how pretty, a sip of butterscotch for Anne, my dear Emily.
Yeah.
Curl up in bed. I hope her dreams come true. So there was like a tender, heritage, a sense of family, a vivid explanations and vivid images and sights and sounds that just painted a picture. And I like that he added the Bronte sisters down at the bottom there. So it has the tenderness, at least I hope he was aiming for, because I thought it was an amazing write. And it always is. And between the poem itself and the treat of getting to hear his voice read, I'm absolutely delighted that you were able to pull this together. Because, I mean, again, I say he had already entered the poem on the board, but he got up specifically to make this and read it. And I appreciate it very much. Great work as always, Tony. Thank you. Heather, what did you think?
Beautiful, beautiful piece. In order to incorporate a word bank and not be able to detect that, and like you said, not forced, is a talent. And he shows this throughout this write. I didn't know about three Bronte sisters, and these were the ones that they wrote. Keep us warm. Do keep us warm and read before we do retreat. Emily Bronte wrote Wuthering Heights. Charlotte wrote Jane Eyre. And Anne wrote The Tenant of Windfall Hall. Huh. I thought the piece really showed, yeah, like you said, I could listen to him all night too. He's got that voice.
Yeah, I agree. Such a charming voice. And
yeah.
Oh, now, since it is, like I said, it's down to the tools, so let's just... what I'm going to do is I'm going to read for Iris, and then after that, we just have a couple sound clouds. So let me put this up. Okay, so we have that one from Iris, and then we have Phil, Gerald, and Crystal, and a new poet. Fatsusolo, and I probably said that wrong, I apologize, Wesley. So if you... And thank you again, Titus. Click on Ode to Autumn Leaf. This is Ode to an Autumn Leaf by Iris Three. And here we go. Oh, crisp and russet leaf with wrinkled veins, reciting stories etched on sunburnt page while floating on a windy trail to plains. You speak of birds flying across your golden stage, a flaxen canvas filled with floral tails whose green has turned to copper, ribbed with age. Then join your pals, designing pleated trails adorning lanes in the citrine cider hue, to roam where autumn's lures rain prevails. The leaves become a tango crew of gardens as the swirling winds arrive, arranging them in almond mosaic view, for slowly stems will spill new leaves alive and old ones dance and teach them how to thrive. End poem. Oh, I love the ending. For slowly stems will spew new leaves alive and old ones dance and teach them how to thrive. I like the poem all the way through, but I really, really love that closing couplet. And on the second stanza, you speak of birds flying across your golden stage, a flaxen canvas filled with floral tails, whose green has turned to copper ribbed with age. I think this is gorgeous, and I'm just noting on the side, she's got a gold and a couple silvers. So this is a multi-award winner. Here's our Rima sonnet, and it's a beautiful one. I don't think I've heard of Terza Rima, but she absolutely, and actually that's what the gold is in the specific contest for the form. So, oh man, absolutely gorgeous. honored to read for you, Iris. I'm glad you sent it in. Looking forward to the next one. Thank you very much.
Yeah. True poet.
And Helen, yeah, what did you think?
It's just a true poet in all sense. You know, you watch the leaves become a tangled crew, the gardens as the swirl winds arrive. I've seen that before where the leaves actually form the wind. They put a solid form to the wind down a certain times. The wind's got to be shooting down like that road on the picture. If the wind was picking up and swirling, it would pick those leaves up and go in circles, and it would become like a solid state. You could see the wind at that time. Sort of magical. Mm-hmm. I think that's where will-o'-the-wisp comes in.
Yeah, I agree. It is magical and gorgeous and very much appreciated. All right, so let me grab another poem. I'm going to go and grab Phil the poet and put his poem up. Another voice I love to listen to as he reads. And I am also going to add the photo that Phil wrote to, so that you guys can see the image that inspired him. And you should see that right now. And I will head over to the studio to push play.
Hold on. Running down the hall.
Do you see it?
Somebody's talking. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Autumn's Landscape. Soaring above an autumn's landscape, veined mountains, flows, crystal streams reflecting a coral silhouette, delicate as porcelain in the fields of quilted cashmere, perforated by the crown of the resurrected pomegranate. Harmony is in the velvet showers that fall on mosaic fields, blushing like crimson under a whiskey-stained sky, gorging on a toffee apple leather canvas of fallen leaves, lying like a fleece of copper, burgundy, ripened cherries, cushioned footsteps upon maple-padded pathways, leading to engraved sculpture of polished bronze, covered in the scent of cinnamon and caramel, spiked by the golden rod the sun's midday beam, dimpled specks of summer's dying tears lie wrinkled upon the flowered bed of autumn's marbled virginity, laced in peach and walnut down feathers, moulded in butterscotch, reflecting the splintered change of the coming season, crushed nutmeg and grounded chocolate flakes in a frosted glass of cranberry and sangria twist, drinking to a mustard haze evening sky of suede in celebration of autumn's picturesque landscape and poem.
See that accent? The way he says things. I'm just so delighted that he continues to make these videos, because I mean, you know, everybody's got stuff going on, and between it's he hasn't missed all that many Mondays. He's a constant contributor, and not that it wasn't always appreciated when we were doing the reading for him, but it's extra spectacular to get to hear him read all the poets. They could only realize and understand the magic it brings to the poem, for the poet to lend their own voice to it. And like with Titus, and now again with Phil, they both just showed the proof that it's a mighty weapon to use your voice to read your poem. And I love the title, The Autumn Landscape, and he dives right in, soaring above an autumn landscape, veined mountains, most of the people that used veins tonight used it in the leaves, and he put them in the mountains. I thought that was pretty clever. It stuck out for me, I think, because of the fact that it was in so many leaves. And towards the end, I liked dimpled specks of summer's dying tears lie wrinkled upon the flowered bed of autumn's marble virginity, laced in peach and walnut down feathers molded in butterscotch, reflecting the splintered change of the coming season. Danza. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, I'll find another one.
Great. Sorry, Heather. Well, it's an amazing share, Phil. Thank you very much. You totally brought that picture to life. And let me leave a little bit of something for Heather to comment on. Your turn, Heather.
No, that was the same. Those are the same lines that stood out for me too. The dimpled specks of summer's dying tears lie wrinkled upon the flowered bed of autumn's marbled virginity, laced in peach and walnut down feathers, molded in butterscotch, reflecting the splintered change of the coming season. Crushed nutmeg and grounded chocolate flakes, and frosted grass, a cranberry and sangria twist. Beautiful. And you're right, his voice is just so, makes it so much better, the accent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so I put Crystal's poem on the board. And you know what's funny? I often wonder if Bella realizes that every time I see the words Crystal Hope, and I'll say, okay, we're going to do Crystal's poem. But in my mind, I can hear Bella saying, Hope, my hope. And
hope.
All this time.
Where are you going, Hope?
Yeah.
Going back to school.
Stuck with me. See? Yeah. It's stuck with us. It's funny the things that stick with us. Okay. So
I downloaded
that.
I downloaded
it. Did you really?
Absolutely.
Okay. So click on my little sister's poem, and I will push play on her sound clip here. Crystal. Here it is. Ready, set, go.
Along the river, as I close my coral eyes to shiver, opening up to a painted canvas of carved letters of yellow bliss. Sitting beneath the redwood branches, admiring the colors of second chances, thankful for the framed blessings in disguise, blinking back tears to a sangria sunrise. A glimpse of goldenrod dotted on pages of wooden walnut, oak, and sage. A soaring leaf beyond autumn's roam, knitted in the warmth of coming home.
Crystal's another one showing off with her mad skills here. Beautiful read, and she's been picking this excellent background music. The last couple were no more than that song she sang, but so many. But I like crumbling under the stems of light, blanketed in the fibers of cold nights, sheltering the caramel moon with sunlight of a porcelain loon. There's something about that visual there, from the loon to the moon. The caramel moon. Imagine that sight. And sitting beneath the redwood branches.
No.
All right. I guess I'll be a good little sister. I'll go down to the next one. A glimpse of goldenrod dotted on pages of wooden walnut, oak, and sage. A soaring leaf beyond autumn's roam, knitted in the warmth of coming home. I love that.
Wow.
A soaring leaf beyond autumn's roam, knitted in the warmth of coming home. But the whole poem is great. The visuals are awesome. But I really, really like the way she closed this one out, and her and her background music gave it a tranquility as she read. Awesome work. And Hatter.
I had it. Yeah, the admiring the colors of second chances. Thankful for the praying blessings in the skies. Beautiful rhymes. Sitting beneath redwood branches, admiring the colors of second chances. Thankful for the praying blessings in the skies, blinking back tears to a sangria sunrise. Everybody's getting so good, man. This is... Oh, this is very good, Crystal. Love it.
Okay. For sure. Awesome comment, Hatter. Okay. Now, let me see. What is next on the board here? Okay, I am grabbing Gerald and bringing him over to the board. And then we have one more after Gerald's. So, packed with poetry tonight. Mondays are always so busy. I'm humbled and honored and totally blown away and appreciative more than anyone knows. So if you want to click on Gerald's poem, I will push his recording.
Running down the hall. Open up the door.
Forest Stairs, written in red by Gerald Green. This week of golden hue, where breath is seen in crispy air and exercise refreshes, invites the soul to sip its broth. An entrance from the parking lot, unpaved but hardback soil, directs my eyes to curving stairs and wooden balustrade. I pause and soak. The waiting scene invites, its clutter and its form designed to challenge and unwind uncharted tensions and suburban stress. A minute passes, maybe three, while Flex, my dog, explores and pees until I feel the urge to move, embracing all before my eyes. And then the truth jumps out and screams. I stop in fear. No, more disdain as meaning settles, contrast builds about those stairs upon the slope. Some engineer, some nameless engineer, has left his mark, this ugly scar of timbered steps whose shape and stain of creosote offend and desecrate. Those winding stairs cry out and curse the ground on which they lie, with symmetry reserved for urban ilk, where straight lines persecute survivors. Suddenly I feel incensed, cannot enjoy the hue of gold, or morning air, or even Flex, while gazing at this curving plague. In fierce but solemn enmity, I turn and take another path, where none have sought to change what Mother Nature wove in place. End poem.
Awesome. Gerald is another one who takes the time to sit down and make us recordings week after week after week. And I have to say, while he was dealing with first his project and then a little bit of healing, he was very missed. So I'm glad he's back and clearly feeling much better. Forest Stairs, this week of golden hue when breath is seen in crispy air, an exercise refreshes, invites the soul to sip its broth. I like that. It invites the soul to sip its broth. That's a fabulous metaphor there. Because, you know, broth is good for you, especially bone broth. So it's a sip of broth to the soul, kind of puts you in mind of the feel of the Chicken Soup with the Soul series, which is an amazing, amazing set of books. The waiting scene invites its clutter and its form designed to challenge and unwind uncharted tensions and suburban stress. And it, you look at that picture and it really does look like a place where you could just go in there and melt into the scenery and let all the stress of the day, of the city, of the tensions that are, you know, weighing on you with your shoulders, weightlifting the pressure of the day. And it just melts away there. A minute passes, maybe three, while Flex, my dog, explores and pees until he feels the urge to move, embracing all before my eyes. There's always something a little different that you wouldn't expect. And I have to say that with all the gorgeous visuals that we were leading up to, but a dog's got to pee, right? But it just, it gave me a little bit of giggle there. He has such a clever wit. Those winding stairs cry out and curse the ground on which they lie with symmetry reserved for urban ilk, where straight lines persecute survivors. Really powerful piece here. All that from a picture of some stairs under the forest there. I pause and soak. I like the thought of that. You soak in the view, you soak in the rays, you soak in the feel of the afternoon. I really, really like where he took this one. And at the risk of having had her growl at me, in fierce but solemnity, I turn to take another path where none have thought to change what Mother Nature wove in place. I like that. There are becoming less and less places that are left the way Mother Nature wove them in the place. But this is definitely one of them. And this is a beautiful poem and an awesome read. And even the little giggle in between. Great share. Appreciate it very much, Gerald. What do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I love where he ended it. Best. I turn to take another path where none have sought to change. That's Bob Dylan's. I mean, Gerald's a true poet. He's got his own style, knows what he's doing with the words. He's a wizard of words. Any comment?
Got any comment, Hatter? Now, let me see here.
I got to answer something real quick. Sorry about that. Just saying bye to Bella because she had to hang up. And I'm just noticing that Jethro has a poem, but I have to shut down after this one. I apologize.
Who had a poem?
Jethro, I feel bad, but I have to shut down. We've got...
Yep.
2 minutes left of the show. I can't add in a new poem at that time. I feel bad though. But this poem, I want to get this one on. We're going to close out the show with a poem called Limbo Section. And this poet is the first time I've had them participate in my show. And the first time I got to listen to them, I get to listen to them read because I was emailed a sound clip. So click on that and let's listen to this new poet. It's his turn to dazzle us. Here we go.
Limbo Season by Fatusolo Wesley. As clouds of steel gray on frost breeze tracks, stationed over compacted suburbs, their glass-suited passengers descended so swiftly that their feet pattered on the stone pavement in lawns of green towers, shattering the miniature hard body armor. Ringed pillars of mocha, walnut, and chocolate skin dyed their locks, strands, and wigs in the shades of red apple, orange maple, and yellow pineapple. for sweet pumpkin, sour tomato, and crunchy carrot graduations. In this quarter of Sol and Lunis waltz, the bushes once flowered follow cappuccino-filled snow geese and ruby ducks to the bottom of the crimson arrow compass until the greater dip. Turtle-like, I amble on the path of marigold, greeted by benches of polished cherry wood, standing on curved front legs and bowing poles, striped with air. Molded, as my brain pictured, by solid hands coated in stool dust and chair chips, crafted for the canvas of a man or a woman or a child carrying the tides. Seated, I let my puff of breath run off, gazing at you through the silk veil, appearing as it does this season, clothed in a plaid red velvet shirt and berry blue jeans. As you sit, I let the warm logs coil around me, a modern painting to be framed in this growing earth.
Well, that was awesome.
Yeah, a little different.
As clouds of steel gray on the frost breeze tracks, station over compacted suburbs, their glass-suited passengers descended so swiftly that their feet pattered on the stone pavement and lawns of green towers shattered into miniature hard body armor. I think that's really cool when you think about shattering miniature body armor. I would imagine that that's like frost on the blades of grass, which is a really clever way to put it. And the feet pattered on the stone pavement. Great visuals there. And let me see what turtle towards the end, turtle-like. I amble on the path of marigold, greeted by benches of polished cherry wood, standing on curved front legs and bone poles. I like all of the little details that, you know, it helped to encapsulate the view that he's painting in our mind with his words. Molded in my brain, pictured by solid hands, coated in dust, chair chips. But I like the ending. As you sit, I let the warm logs coil around me, a modern painting to be framed in this growing earth. So there was like a visual there of him all snuggled up. I think that this came out great. I'm thrilled that you participated in the challenge. I hope you continue to do so. The recording was fabulous. Thank you for emailing that to me. I'm impressed, and I'm filled with gratitude for you and all the amazing poets that shared with us tonight. Well done. Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, a little different. I like the different words you used, the description. I like blue. I like it was berry blue jeans. I thought that was good. I'm just finishing up my comment here. Okay. Has he called in before?
As far as I know, that this is the first time, at least for my show. But I'm thrilled that he did, and hope he continues to.
Yeah. What was the one? Standing on curved front legs and bow. I amble on the path of marigold, treated by benches of polished cherry wood. You just see it, smell it. Very good. Yeah, I can't wait to read more from him.
Absolutely. So let's see. Right about now, I'd like to take this time to thank everyone, starting with you, Hatter, for always being there. I appreciate it very much.
Sure.
Don't like doing shows as much without my big brother. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
And, And I want to thank everyone for showing up. You guys make Monday such an amazing night. It's always jam-packed with brilliance. the response to the prompt shows on Mondays is beyond my wildest expectations, and I'm thrilled about that. I want to say thank you to my callers, like Sky and Frank Wayne. And Wayne and Steven and Kay and Sweet Pea, and a little secret, that beautiful Bella. Firefly was sitting in the studio listening with us, and Mr. A.P. Taylor hanging out with us in the middle of his busy work schedule. Appreciate it very much. And then on top of that, all those wonderful callers.
Jethro watching or listening too, wasn't he?
I think he came towards the end, yeah. And in the meantime, I also want to thank Heavenly Angel for her poem and Iris.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to thank Titus for his poem and for making the recording. And Fata Solo for the amazing recording and for the poem. I appreciate it very much. Bill the Poet, always a pleasure to listen to you read.
Hello.
Gerald,
oh.
Really glad you're back. Thank you for the sound, as always. Thank you to Allie and to my little sister, Crystal.
There you go. You're
all incredible, and none of these shows would be anything without all of you. Your hard work, dedication, creativity, and brilliance is appreciated from the bottom of my heart. You make Monday special, and it's all because of your brilliance. And on that note, I think that I will let Hatter choose a song to take us out of here with. What do you think you want to hear?
Oh. We have Comfortably Numb.
I thought we did, but let me see here. Pink. I thought it was one of the pink floor. Yes, we do. I don't know why it didn't come up. Okay. So I'm fairly sure that there are not too many people who do not know who Pink Floyd is, but you just never know. So how about if I tell you that Pink Floyd is an English rock band that was formed in London in 1964, and they gained an early following as one of the first British psychedelic groups. They were distinguished for their extended compositions, sonic experimentations, philosophical lyrics, and elaborate live shows. They became a leading band in progressive rock and cited by some of the greatest progressive rock bands of all time. And this song is Comfortably Numb, Pink Floyd. Love and respect, everyone.
Roger Waters and David Gilmour.
There is no
I was a child that had a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
Cool. Great lyrics.
Well,
thanks,
that's
Deb,
what this studio is. Having a fleeting glimpse in my eye. But awesome show. Love and respect.
Yeah.
Oh,
always,
tomorrow
always a pleasure,
night,
Deb.
Everyone, tune in at 11 and hang out with Raconteur. He's got an awesome quote that he's using as a prompt tomorrow. And that quote is, "No man means all he says, and yet very few say all they mean, for words are slippery. Thought is vicious," by Henry Adams. That is his quote prompt. Check it out. See you there.
All right.
Have a respect. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.